Welcome to Soul Revival Podcast. I'm your host, Rosie Pryor. I'd like to take a moment just to introduce you to this project and tell you a little bit about myself. I am interested in bringing the message of just inspiration, really, to family, friends, people that I know, but also hoping to reach the far corners of the earth to people that I don't know. I'm a dreamer. I'm a type 4 on the Enneagram, an individualist. I think that's kind of putting it shortly, but I like to dream big. I surround myself with people who are more logical, like my husband, and he's able to kind of grab me by the toes and pull me back down to earth. Sometimes I get carried away with myself, but none of this was really possible, the dreaming and the inspiration, before I got sober. In April, I will have 3 years of sobriety, for which I am eternally grateful. I was addicted to prescription stimulants, so I would abuse those and also abuse alcohol from an early age. Started in high school with lots of blackouts and kind of snowballed through college, where it was easy to get my hands on. Also struggled at a very early age, probably 11 or 12, became bulimic. So started there with just kind of a restlessness and a feeling that I was somehow incomplete and kind of a searching for wholeness. I, of course, had no words to articulate that at the time, but since then, let's see, So the bulimia was kind of the gateway for me. Did that mostly through high school. Again, the introduction to alcohol and it being readily available, illegally, of course. But then came college and that kind of freedom and not really knowing or understanding how to take care of myself or what I required. No self-discipline. Wasn't really one of those that could rein it in by myself. So that kind of continued and got in lots of trouble with the sorority. I'll save that story for another day. It's a pretty good one. And then in college at one point, I went to visit a therapist, a psychologist, I believe, because she wasn't able to prescribe any medication herself, but went to visit her because I couldn't stop making myself throw up and was just miserable and had gotten to the point where I called my parents in and found this lady. So I visited her a few times. We didn't make a whole lot of headway, and at some point I must have mentioned not being able to concentrate, as well as, you know, just kind of making myself sick and not being able to regulate food. And she gave me, actually got my gynecologist to prescribe me Adderall. And so that was my introduction to the speedy life that I embraced with all of my being. I felt like I had arrived, even more so with alcohol. It was something that resonated with me. I like to be productive. I like to be skinny. I like to feel inspired. And the dopamine hits that Adderall gave me, just these constant like booms in my mind, all these ideas and you know, all this energy, and I just fell in love. It was like a love story. And so gradually, let's see, it started to lose its impact. It started to not work as well as I became more not immune to it, but resistant to the effects of it. And my body became you know, not as responsive. And so I remember getting really depressed, and that's when I started taking more, because that's what you do. You take more to get that. You're always chasing that first boom, that first high, that, you know, that first I have arrived. And so I spent a long time doing that, moved out to New Zealand with a friend. We went traveling and actually tried to get the pills shipped out there, but they were intercepted by customs and I was unable to get them. So I was there and I was waiting tables and bartending and everything, and was unaware of this thing called anhedonia. Was completely an elusive concept to me. I had no idea that when you're up, you know, every action has an equal and opposite reaction. So when you're up high in Adderall land and stimulant world, you do, when you come off of that, have to come back down to earth, and not only earth, but you drop below earth. And I would say I was definitely in some kind of hell on earth, but I couldn't figure out why. I mean, I was depressed, I had no energy, and these are all symptoms of coming off of Adderall that I just had no idea about. So it was like kind of a withdrawal period. So that happened. In the meantime, I met my future husband, and I was just really in a bad place though when I met him. I'm kind of surprised that he stuck with me, my God, and that was just the beginning. Bless his heart. So the New Zealand, I put on a ton of weight there. I really was kind of unhappy towards the end, and then we moved back to Louisiana for 3 months. His visa was set to expire. They could, you know, we could only go back and forth to the country of our origin with the other person for 3 months. That was kind of the cap on it. So we went back and forth, decided to get married so that we could stop all the hopping around, because that was kind of exhausting and we couldn't really be in the same place or get work. So as unromantic as that sounds, I'm sure it was more romantic than this, but we got married, lived over there for a while. Again, it was, you know, they don't hand out Adderall and stimulants like candy like we do over here. That's a sweeping generalization. I'm not saying that every doctor does that, but we, you know, I was unable to get it over there. So I kind of had to, like, I remember counting it, and like I would have, I would keep journals that would say, you know, how many halves I had left and that kind of thing, just like kind of psychotic tracking of how much I could take on what day and that kind of thing. You know, it strikes me as funny that I was in such a cloud of that whole situation that I wasn't ready to say, oh, this, you know, this, there might be a problem here. This doesn't seem normal. I wasn't ready to look that in the eye. So I just kept going and, counting my pills, breaking them in half. And then let's see. And then we ended up moving back to the States in the middle of kind of the recession. So it was difficult to find work, and eventually did. I decided to go off and become a yoga teacher in India. Having never been a student of yoga, I went straight to teaching, which was, in hindsight, a little skewed, a little out of order. So I went over there, but I did have a great experience and was sober for the longest stretch of time that I had ever put together, which was 30 days, and came back. And the first thing I did when I got into the Houston airport was have a beer and like a chocolate coffee, because we had been off caffeine the whole time we were in India. I did an intensive training over there in the Himalayas, which was just like, I've been blessed in my life. I cannot complain. I've done some pretty cool things, and I wouldn't say that's because I'm brave. I would probably say that's because I'm reckless, but I wouldn't change it for the world. So, yeah, so India, yoga teaching. My dogs just came in the room, and they're kind of, they must need to go outside, but I'm going to go ahead and put myself first, as per usual. So did the India thing, came back, started teaching yoga, which kind of played right into my eating disorder as far as body distortion, being small, like now having a reason to keep myself small and strong. You know, I think yoga teachers kind of have like a, some kind of, I don't want to say entitlement, but some kind of, I don't know, I'm going to pass over this, but it's just a stereotype, like, right? Like, so it's, we're supposed to be small, and this is not we. Let me just break that up. It's not we, it's me. That's what I put on myself. Just, it slotted right into the way that I thought I should be. And now I had a reason, and I had not only a reason, but a holistic reason to stay small. So, you know, came back and started taking Adderall and drinking and doing all the things. I remember teaching hungover was absolutely horrendous. Just that feeling of like, here I am up teaching. I'm teaching. These people are here to learn, and I'm standing up here and my eyes are red and my heart is breaking, and I am so not close to wholeness or unity or anything that this ancient practice stands for. And it was just, there's such a disconnect and such a just horrendous conversation going on when you have that kind of irreconcilable like difference between, you know, the two voices in your head, for those of you who know what it's like to have two voices in your head competing with one another. So that was just really, really rough time, and I still didn't really think anything was wrong with me, and I thought yoga would save me, and I thought that if I can get up and do yoga, then I don't have a problem. So fought that for a while. Did maintain some sense of sobriety throughout my pregnancy, but apart from that, there wasn't a whole lot. And then after I had my second daughter, got prescribed Vyvanse, and that was just like, oh my gosh, it was everything. And my body responded to it, and then, you know, every week I would go up more and more and more. And of course I didn't tell my doctor that I had any history of eating disorder, because like anyone in their right mind would not prescribe stimulants to somebody with a history of eating disorders. So apart from, you know, all these other issues, I was most certainly manipulative and just not a very good person. Had no problem lying to get what I wanted. So the Vyvanse and then all that came to a head. The drinking came to a head, which I'll go into further in another episode. Or I might save that story for my book. I don't know. I got to keep something from you guys, or no one's going to buy this thing. So that's kind of, yeah, so everything hit. I quit drinking because of a book that I read called This Naked Life by Annie Grace. If anybody is even having, if you're even sober curious, like this is just, it's like information, it's educating yourself on, you know, what you're putting in your bodies. I feel like there's a shift in the air, there's a shift within our culture and the people in it towards consciousness. Like we want to know, we want to do the right thing. We have all this knowledge, we have all this access to all this knowledge, and so this is kind of gaining access. And the book helped me. It's actually called How to Control Alcohol, which is what sold it to me, because I did not want to quit, I just wanted to control it. I had tried everything and I could not figure out how to control it myself. So I read this book, and by the end of it I was ready to stop drinking, just like that, like magic. And so after that, I was still on the Vyvanse for about a month, I want to say, maybe 3 weeks. So I did quit drinking, was still on the Vyvanse. It was kind of, you know, everybody has their own process, and there's no right way, there's no wrong way. There is your way. And everybody, I think that this will be accessible I try to make my story accessible because I think that everyone has something that they are hiding, that they are running from, a vice, or it can be Instagram, it can be shopping, it can be biting your nails. That's not the worst thing, but you know, apart from drinking and taking drugs and the big things that I really threw myself into, it can be small things. It's not like, pain is pain. It's not like mine is bigger than yours, and you don't have to compare all that. It's just a collective suffering, and we all just want to get happy. So I'm trying to make this story and this project accessible, so that we can see the commonality, so that we can come together, kind of like what I could not do through yoga, what I was unable to fulfill through that endeavor. I want to correct that now, and that just came to me, and that is so cool. That I wanna make up for that, you know. I wanna make amends with that, and this is how I would like to do so. So I'm so happy that you showed up here today. I've got a lot of exciting things. I want to introduce you to a lot of pillar people in my life. I've got so many amazing, inspiring people in my life that I'd love to introduce you to, that have just so much wisdom and knowledge in their field and in their life experience and in their vulnerability, and just want to share their light with you. So all that being said, I'm so grateful. I know how precious your time is, and I'm really excited to take you on this journey with me, and I want us to go together, and I want to share with you my mess ups and my mistakes, and you know, the triumphs and brightness along the way too. So thank you for showing up for me and showing up for yourself, and I cannot wait to share more with you.